I'd like to call the meeting to order, and we do have a quorum. Do we have any audience participation? The minutes, I need a motion to approve the minutes of July 24th.
So moved.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
The motion passes. Staff reports. Financial progress report. This is item 3 on your agenda. We will need a motion required for this. Jason.
Thank you. Yes, attachment 3A in your folders is the financial progress report. This one shows our financial position through July 31st of this year, which is the end of the fiscal year. I'm pleased to report that we were well within budget, and the federal funds at our disposal we carry over into this period to use on some of our other planning products. And if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer those. Otherwise, we recommend approval.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item B, technical progress report. This is oral. This is Curtis.
Thank you. A couple of quick things. First, we did have our final bike and brainstorm of the season in Barberton. 2 weeks ago, we had over 60 participants. It was a great success. Stopped at a couple of different places. The city was very helpful. In the process, we got a lot of great feedback and some good coverage from the local newspapers. If you are interested, if your community is interested in doing one of these, we will have, we're probably done for the season. I mean, if it stays like this the rest of the year, maybe not, but we'll be done for the season. And then if you are interested, we'll be doing it starting back up in the spring of 2014. So if your community is interested in a bike and brainstorm, please let us know. We just about got them down to a science now. We're getting a lot of great feedback. So staff would be happy to work with you on that. Also, for those of you that aren't aware, the AMET's annual meeting is Friday, October 11th. And we've got a really great agenda planned. We're going to have a panel on shared services, which is going to include a number of our members, as well as Randy Cole will be speaking. We'll also be doing a presentation on some of the things that are happening in Cuyahoga Falls with some of the new developments like Portage Crossing and some of the other new buildings that have been up there. That, I believe, registration will be open until October 4th. You all should have received a digital brochure. You can go on the website and register, but we definitely would love to see everyone there, and it should be a good time. Finally, the Northeast Ohio Sustainable Communities Consortium, Jason will talk about this, I think, in a little bit more detail into the item, but there were those scenario planning workshops, I believe, a few months ago in every county. They're doing a final follow-up workshops to those, which is really the idea of trying to get feedback on the proposed visions for the region in 2040. Wanted to let you know there are two events in our area. First, oh, and there's also a flyer outside if you saw it, if any of you picked it up. But there's an event in at the Akron Urban League on October 8th at 6:30 p.m., and then one at the Parta Kent Central Gateway on October 15th at 11. So those are two events that we're encouraging the public and also any policymakers also and stakeholders to come and learn more about that. Other than that, I'm going to hand it over to Jason for a few additional items.
Okay, thanks, Curtis. Yeah, I just wanted to report back. At the last meeting, we had some questions on the bike crashes and bike safety in the report that David presented on traffic crashes. And I think we'll have a more detailed analysis for both the TAC and Policy Committee in December. But it was really interesting. Give Dave a lot of credit. He went through all the reports from the Department of Public Safety that involved bike crashes. And I just wanted to throw out a couple of the highlights. There were 331 bike crashes in our region over the last 3 years. And what we did is we looked at the age of the cyclist, we looked at the type of crash, if the officer had, I don't know that it's a citation per se, but had assigned blame or fault to either the cyclist or the motorist, and then we also mapped them out. And it gave us a lot better understanding, I think, as we get more involved with bike planning, to look at some of the safety issues. The general trend that we found with the age of the cyclist is the younger the cyclist, the more likely it was that the cyclist was at fault. And the older they were, the more likely it was the motorist. And it was funny, it broke down almost exactly at 25, you know, just like car insurance, where as you got above 25, they overwhelmed, you know, they largely started to be the fault of the motorist. And a lot of the ones with kids or teenagers was when Dave looked at the details, you know, some sort of unorthodox behavior by the cyclist, which kind of leads me to what was interesting. Of the 331 crashes, 75 were actually biking against traffic. So that was where the cyclist was actually riding on the left-hand side of the road. And then 130 of the 331 took place on the sidewalk. And that is one of those things where I think it anecdotally, people will feel safer on the sidewalk, but in a lot of cases it's a false sense of security because you actually run into a lot more conflicts with driveways, and also people don't, they're not looking for you as much. So I think as we do planning with bike lanes and things like that, that's kind of a factor. And then finally, and this was I think specifically the mayor of Aurora's question, how many of the crashes occurred where there were bike lanes? Only 12 of the 331 happened on roads where there were bike lanes. I think it's still hard to read too much into that, though, because we don't necessarily know how much bike travel is on roads with bike lanes or how much is on roads without them. But it wasn't a very high number. And then the final thing we looked at is on our bike user map, we try to gauge is a road easy, moderate, difficult, et cetera, for cyclists. And There were not many crashes on roads we ranked as easy, and the number of crashes did increase a lot as we had identified roads that we felt were less safe for cyclists, until you got to the roads that are probably the most difficult to ride on, where there weren't many crashes there, but we suspect that's probably because not many people are even attempting to ride, you know, to ride on those roads. So it was interesting. If you have any questions on anything I mentioned, I'd be glad to take them. Like I said, I think we'll have an actual report for you in December.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number three, item C, and that's attachment 3C in your package, Victor. The AMATS federal funds report.
Thank you. Third page in that packet is the funding program for fiscal year 14. The first quarter is closing here at the end of this month. You can see there's a great deal of projects that are covered. And as you kind of look down that year, you'll see that there's a few of them during the fourth quarter. And you probably heard me say that we're trying to avoid projects in the fourth quarter. Well, these are what ODOT does. I think they just assign them in the fourth quarter. If you look at them, most of these are resurfacing. They'll actually sell a lot sooner than that. Some of these that have sold in the first quarter were in the fourth quarter. So even though they're listed there in the fourth quarter, they're going to sell earlier than most of them. And if you flip that page over, that's the second half of the table. And it has the balances. Also, we've added fiscal year 18 to this. You can see, if you recall, we over-programmed our last round of funding, so some of those projects are out in 18. You can see we pretty much used up the funds in that year also. Our statewide CMAQ funding program, we have a revised document that we gave to ODOT just recently. We had a meeting with them past Friday, and based on initial discussions, they do like what they see in this revised funding policy with statewide CMAQ program, so it's likely that this all be finalized by the end of the year, and then sometime early next year we'll probably start with a round of funding for the statewide CMAQ funding program. Then the last thing I want to touch on, but I'll back up for 1 second. As far as our projects and the project listing there, we had a project review meeting last week, and at this time there's no moves on projects, which means they're all on schedule, which is good. But some of the sponsors did show up to that meeting. We do need, if you have a project, we do need you to show up or whoever you assign, your consultant, to come to the next project review meeting, which will be late November. The reason being is they're not going to use that meeting to do their lockdown for the next 2 years. So that is a critical meeting that will happen at the end of November. Our next round of funding I have up on the screen is our project selection process. We'll be going out for our surface transportation program, STP program, known as our STP program, our TAP, which is our transportation alternative program, which replaced the old TEP program, which is for bike and pedestrian type projects, and then also the resurfacing. So the STP, the TAP, and then the resurfacing. Those are the three programs we're going to go out for funding here shortly. Again, the CMAC program is now at the statewide level. And then up on the board, you'll see that as far as our process is, we're in the review process of our funding policy guidelines, and that's later on in the agenda. That's for approval in the August-September timeframe, and then in October, we'll be in the project solicitation phase, where we'll send out notices shortly that there are funds available for projects. And then at that time, you'd send back letters of intent, letting us know what projects you're interested in getting funded. And then in the project's pre-screening phase, once we get back those letters of intent, we'll go over them, make sure that there's not any issues, or if there is, we'll try to get those cleared up, and that'll be in the October-November timeframe. And then after that, we'll go into the project evaluation phase, which would be November-December timeframe. We'll submit out those applications. You'll fill them out, bring them back to us, and we'll review them. The TIP subcommittee will then convene and do the scoring based on our funding policy guidelines, and then they'll rank them and then come up with a list of projects to recommend for funding. And then that'll go to come back to the TAC and this committee probably in the January meeting for final approval. And then we go to the project programming phase, where once the projects are approved, you have 45 days to get your programming packages in ODOT, get those projects programmed. And then from that point, next spring and into the summer, we'll be having scope meetings on those projects where we go out in the field with ODOT and the project sponsors to take a look at the projects. Even though I did mention that it'll probably be approved in January, because we don't longer have the CMAC program and this round of funding, it may be a little bit sooner. We'll see how things go. So with that, that's all I have on this item. One last thing to mention, the TIPs have been printed. They're out in front. If you didn't grab one, feel free to grab one. It'll also be on our website. And the one that's on our website will be updated with amendments as we need them from our meetings.
And maybe if I could just add, if you think you're at all interested in applying something, please don't be shy about calling us. We're definitely here to help. Victor can kind of help walk you through the process, especially if your community hasn't applied before. We're also glad to work with you to look at, are there other sources of funding, either with agencies like ODOT, with Aaron came in, I think, a while ago to talk about the Issue 1 program. We'd had the presentation not too long ago on the State Infrastructure Bank. Any sort of things like that, you know, we want to be a resource to help you out. So don't be shy. There are no dumb questions, unless I'm asking them.
Thank you, Victor. Item D under 3C, NEOSCC update from Jason.
Okay, thanks. Just the update on the progress of the Northeast Ohio Sustainable Communities Consortium. As I think most of you know, AMETS is a member of that organization. It's a 12-county effort to look at regional planning for sustainability, basically Greater Cleveland, Akron, Canton, and Youngstown. Curtis had mentioned a little bit earlier about these workshops. Basically where that effort now is there has been work done on scenario planning, which is looking at different futures for the region as far as development patterns, what that might cost in terms of infrastructure, et cetera. The consultant that's been working on it just presented to the NEOSCC board yesterday kind of a draft vision for the region. I think it's still a little bit short on specifics or details right now, which I think is what these workshops are designed to gather a little bit more input from all of you and any other stakeholders. At some point, though, coming along here, probably by around December, there will be some sort of draft plan that NEOSCC puts out. And so the first thing I wanted to mention to all of you is I'm definitely interested in all of you being able to have plenty of time to look at that, review it, get feedback from you on that. I think once there's more specifics, I'd love to hear back from you as a group as to whether you feel like this is something we want AMATS to pass a resolution of support for, or if it's just something that you'd like to review. That'll help me out as a board member back at NEOSCC. And then the second thing would be, because this is a federal grant, the clock is ticking and runs out December 31st. There has been an application to HUD for an extension to try to kind of finish up the project. But there is a futures committee right now at NEOSCC to look at, should the organization continue on in some fashion. The kind of issues that are being looked at is, if it does continue on, what type of organization should it be? What would it do? Eventually getting into the weeds on things like, should there be a board? If so, who should be on it? How big should it be? Should there be a staff? If there is, how would they get paid? Those are all, I hesitate to even give a lot of details on that now because I'm not even sure what the direction is, and also there's not a lot of context on that. But once there is a recommendation on that, I'll share that with you as well, because I imagine AMATS will be asked, or just as the fact we've been a board member in the past, to participate in that organization. And again, I'd like to get your feedback and input on, you know, what you see our role as an MPO being in that. So hopefully that wasn't too much detail. If you guys have any questions, or if any of you that have participated with NEOSCC have any questions or comments or want to add anything, please feel free.
Jason, these two events that are coming up in the next couple of weeks, on the 8th and the 15th, I've heard them described as a workshop and as a public meeting. And my understanding is that a workshop, you go to listen, a public meeting, you go to talk.
I think they're going to be more like a public meeting, because that's actually a great question. We discussed that exact issue yesterday at the executive committee, and the last set of workshops had been done as open houses, and there was some concern from a lot of the residents, some of whom don't necessarily support the effort, that there wasn't an opportunity to really speak. You know, in an open house, typically, you know, you might be able to talk to a couple individuals, but so our executive committee did approve a motion to make provision for some sort of public comment at these, so I think they will be more like a public meeting than a workshop.
And the general public is invited to these.
Correct.
And details will be forthcoming as to exactly what the general public can expect to actually be able to do if they come.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The way the executive committee left it is, we basically said we want there to be a public comment, provision for public comment, but then the engagement group was going to try to figure out how to make that work. So I'm not sure if people, for example, would get 3 minutes to speak, or 5 minutes, or if it would happen at the beginning or the end or somewhere in between. As soon as I find that out, I could get back to you and let you know. Or if you're interested in contacting NEOSCC directly, they should be able to speak to that too.
And their website is?
NEOSCC.org, and it's also vibrantvo.org. You can get there either way.
Thank you.
Sure.
Jason, do you have a phone number for those who don't have computers?
Yeah, I was hoping it would be.
It's not listed either.
On the brochure, and I don't have it offhand. I'll get on my phone here in a second and get it to you.
Any other questions or comments? Any old business? Moving on to new business, that would be 5A, attachment 5A, proposed updates of the AMATS area federal functional classification of highways, and this does require a motion.
The functional classification of roadways, basically, it's a way to categorize roadways based on their mobility and accessibility. For example, interstates have high mobility but low access. Local roads have high access but low mobility. The feds update the federal functional classification system every 10 years after the U.S. Census. So they started that process a while ago, and we were kind of almost through it. The table is on the back of the memo. Earlier this year, we asked our members if they had any roadways in their communities that they wanted changed. in regards to the functional class. This is what was submitted to us. Our TACTMP subcommittee looked at this at their meeting last month, and they're recommending that these projects get forwarded on to ODOT and Federal Highway for review and approval. And then there's also a map attached to that shows what's on the table. So with that, the staff, and again, the TACTMP subcommittee recommend approval of moving this on to ODOT and Federal Highway for review.
I'll ask for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 6, Resolution 2013-13, adopting the revised AMAPS funding policy guidelines. This is Attachment 6A, and we will require a motion.
Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, we've started our round of funding. The first thing we do is we look at the funding policy guidelines, see if any changes are needed, and the TACTMP subcommittee is recommending changes. Just in brief, some of the overview of what's changed. We've eliminated the CMAQ funding program, again, because that's moved to the statewide committee. We replaced the Transportation Enhancement Program with the Transportation Alternatives Program. Again, that's due to MAP 21. And then transit's going to be updated at a different time, but we did eliminate the JARC and New Freedom funding programs because those were eliminated through MAP 21 also. And attached to the memo and resolution is the finalized funding policy guidelines, and I'll just briefly go through those just to spot out some of those changes. On all the funding programs, we had to update some of the wording just to make it clear that in-kind services cannot be used as a local match. We had some discussion on that in the last round of funding, so we made that changes. The first significant change comes on page 9. That's the Transportation Alternatives Program. Essentially, this is the same information that was there for the Transportation Enhancement Program, the old program. The major change, though, is the planning phase is eligible, but only for district-wide safe route to school travel plans. So other than that, it's pretty much the same information there. And then moving on to page 19, on the back, this was the updated project selection process, which you've seen earlier in this meeting. And then moving on to the scoring criteria for the STP program, page 21, on the back side, page 22. Number 7, this used to be called multimodal features. We've updated to call it complete street components. It's the same criteria, though. And then number 8 is new, and essentially what it's doing is adding points to projects that are recommended, that are being applied for, that have been recommended out of the planning, connecting communities planning grants. And then on the next page, 23, the Transportation Alternatives Program. This is all new. There's 5 criteria here for this funding program. First one, essentially, there's a planning component. If it's in our plan or a community's plan, it gets points. Connectivity, number 2 there, if it improves existing bike and pedestrian facilities or improves enhancement or connectivity to other modes of travel, they get points. And level of use, this is this basically be used to compare against other alternative projects that are submitted for funding. Then you have safety, and then the last one is what we call our fair share criteria. That's the same. We have this for all of our funding programs.
Thank you.
And that's essentially the major changes that were done to the funding policy. We actually have the subcommittee to recommend these changes as well as the staff.
I need a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Item B, this is attachment 6B, resolution 2013-14, approving the fiscal year 2013 year end completion report. Jeff.
This memo, attachment 6B, discusses the staff budget and expenditures for the fiscal year that just ended on June 30th. The purpose of the attached resolution is to approve the fiscal year 2013 year-end completion report. so we can transmit it to ODOT for their review. We do this annually, and then either ODOT in the fall or finalize the fiscal year. The meeting usually takes place the second week of October. Within attachment 6B is a financial summary for all the work elements scheduled during the last fiscal year. In brief, the staff budget is approximately $1.9 million. $1.6 million was expended, with the remainder available for this year's use through December 31st. A number of significant products and activities were accomplished during the last fiscal year, particularly the new regional transportation plan and the TIP. All planning work scheduled for fiscal year 2013 was completed, and expenditures were within the budgeted amounts. The TAC and the CIC recommend approval of Resolution 2013-14. Are there any questions?
We need a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 6C, Resolution 2013-15, designating Metro RTA and PARTA as the recipients of funds from the FTA Section 5310, Enhanced Mobility for the Elderly and Disabled. Jeff.
The federal government, through the Federal Transit Administration, allocates funding to urban areas to assist in transporting the elderly and the disabled. Metro and PARTA are eligible to receive funds via the FTA Section 5310 program. In order to receive these funds, Metro and PARTA are required to be designated as recipients with the concurrence of the governor of the state of Ohio. To that end, AMATS, Metro, and PARTA will draft an agreement for the cooperative use of these funds in coordination with the area's social service agencies. Resolution 23-15 recommends that the governor of the state of Ohio officially designate Metro and PARTA as recipients of these FTA funds. Resolution 23-15 also authorizes the staff to draft a memorandum of understanding with Metro and PARTA for the use of these funds. The TAC and CIC recommend approval of this resolution. Another question.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Discussion.
My question is, this motion identifies, designates the two agencies as recipients, but this doesn't actually allocate any funds itself. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 6D, Resolution 2013-16, approving amendment number 4 to the Transportation Improvement Program fiscal year 2014 to 2017 to revise the funding to ODOT District 4 guardrail end treatments, Lobby Road, Liberty Road sidewalk, and I-480 slide repair. Victory. It says victory.
Oh, that's
you are not victory.
That's okay. Actually, I'm going to do this one. Resolution 2013-16 is Amendment 4 to our 14-17 TIP. I'll briefly go over these six projects that are affected. The first one is ODOT District 4 guardrail and treatment termini. This is to increase funding for that project. Lobby Road in green is an increase in local funding. Liberty Road sidewalk is adding an engineering phase in fiscal year 14, and it'll be funded from using funds from the construction phase, which is scheduled in 15. The State Route 59 Akron Interbelt project is a new project being added. This is engineering to convert part of the interbelt, the northern part of the interbelt, to an arterial street. The engineering is scheduled in fiscal year 14, using $259,000 in discretionary funds. I-76-77 Main Broadway Interchange is revising funding for the right-of-way phase and then adding a construction phase in fiscal year 16, and then I-480 in Twinsburg is to increase funding
for a slide repair. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Yes. What is a slide repair?
Sounds important.
Oh, an embankment. The embankment next to the highway has it's like a geo. Geotechnical.
The infield, I think, at 480 and 82.
Yeah, it's.
We have a geological program that funds projects every year, and this is one that was brought to our attention and been studied.
It's an embankment repair where part of the embankment has slid or has become unstable.
Not a slide. Yeah.
It's where you want the embankment to stay on the embankment, not on the tape.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Besides what the slide is. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, other business. Formation of the 2014 nominating committee. That would be Jason.
Okay, as is our custom, believe it or not, this is our last meeting of the year until December, so. This meeting, we were hoping to get a couple volunteers to form the nominating committee for the 2014 officers to help Connie, as the chairperson, out with nominating next year's slate of officers. So, as is our usual custom, if you are interested in serving on the nominating committee, we're looking for volunteers today. No pressure. If you don't want to commit to doing it today, you probably will eventually beat the bushes and, you know, try to find two willing volunteers. So if there is anybody here today that knows they would like to participate, go ahead and raise your hand.
How many meetings will it require?
I think it'll just require probably a phone call.
Mayor Bika.
So Mayor Bishara and Mayor Bika. I think two is really all we would need.
Perfect.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. Usually one for someone.
No,
one
you got up for two.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, yes, I need a. The next regular meeting, we'll make that, is Thursday, December the 19th at 1:30 at Quaker Station. Please make sure that you note the change in venue because the Martin Center is closing. So there will no longer be meetings here. There will be at the Quaker Station on the Akron campus. I'm sure that staff will let people know exactly where that is if they're not familiar.
What's going to happen in this building? Do you have any idea?
Don't know.
Curtis, do you know what the fate of the Martin Center?
I've heard that it's either going to be torn down or renovated, but I think it's 99 years old, so a lot of people think it'll be torn down.
It's a historic structure.
Look at my historical society.
That's the European way of doing it. It has to be 300 degrees.
Just personally, make sure that you sign up for the annual meeting. It really is a good meeting, and there's a lot of interesting information that we get. So I will look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We're adjourned.